What's up? You are listening to 101.7 The Truth. If you guys want to call in, the number to dial is 832-12-1017. Hop that. Head over to YouTube. Talk to us. Join our cousins over there on YouTube. Right now, we just ended an interview with Michael Jacobs, politically homeless. It was a really good interview. We talked about the governor's race and what each candidate can do to get ahead. We talked about a lot of things. Make sure you guys check us out. We're on YouTube, so you can rewatch if you need to. But before we left, we asked Michael Jacobs what he thought of the No Playlist. And, I wanted to bring that up again just because what he said was actually very true. They are not the only bar to do something like that, and I do that. They have a lot of pressures, outside pressures, to play other things, like people attacking places or demographics that actually do problems, right? And I thought the question that I asked at the end about fights breaking out to those songs, is that what he's witnessing? And he said no, because a lot of what I'm seeing on Facebook is people that do agree are like, well, that's probably because every time they play it, they're fighting. So I thought it was a very important question to ask because he does play at the garage and he does play on Water Street and he does play downtown. So that was very important to ask. And I think after my segment about it that was Tuesday. I've had a long week, y'all.
You have. It's been like 2 weeks. I live in Vegas, basically.
Right? I've had so many weeks. I've lived many lives, y'all. And I think I bring that up because I know people hate when I start talking about Vegas and da-da-da-da, whatever. They're like, you ain't live here. You ain't from Milwaukee. But it's important to have this perspective because I know a bunch of these out here. And it's interesting. It's embarrassing, actually, for them to hit me up and be like, yo, is this real? They can't believe y'all doing this type of stuff. Like, Yeah, it's actually disheartening, right? So for those of you that don't know, I'm going to circle back. The story we talked about earlier this week traveled far beyond Milwaukee, right? We talked about the garage on Brady Street and that viral No Playlist, a list telling DJs not to play a long list of hip-hop artists featuring Lil Wayne, Future, Glorilla, Travis Scott, Lil Baby, Migos, 2 Chainz, and I know it feels like we're beating a dead horse, pun intended, because we're going to talk about them horses they've been gathering up and slaughtering. But that's a different, that's for later. But this list went viral. DJs were reportedly told the restrictions were effective immediately, including remixes, and not following the rules could jeopardize their gigs. The garage later said that the list was created by an employee and wasn't approved by ownership. Ownership said the intention was to reduce music containing references to guns, violence, and create a more relaxed atmosphere. And they admitted that banning an entire art was wrong, or the wrong way to go about it. Right? And like I said, people have been hitting Vegas, and I'm talking to friends of mine who are huge DJs out here, and they can't believe that this type of thing is real. They're asking me, so what do people play? They're like, most of these artists are top artists. And me and Zach talked about that.
Literally, that's what I was saying.
We said, what do you want from us? And that's exactly what they were saying. Like, that's why they thought a joke. They thought, like, it's messed up because we literally, like, I think as Milwaukee people, what I'm seeing online, right? And I'm seeing this from the African-American community, right? Well, they don't want y'all down there acting a fool. They sick of y'all going to the establishment and this and that. I think Michael literally just said that that's not what's really happening. So that can be dead. And then they're like, well, find a different place to go. Okay, fine. But it's bigger than just finding a different place to go. When, like Michael said, there are places on Water Street that do it. I said that. I was saying, do y'all remember a time? They would literally like be like, don't wear this, this, this. And it's everything that y'all know is popping in the Black community at the time. Whatever y'all could think of that y'all think Black people wear. I said the last time, they gonna tell me like no box braids and no lace fronts. And then they're gonna be like, well, it's not racist. We don't want tumbleweaves around the property, whatever. But I just feel like it's embarrassing to have this conversation about segregation and about how messed up our city is in some ways with people that aren't from there, because it's so like they look at it as like we are behind. They look at it as like, ain't no way y'all saying it's top artists in America right now. So I have to say it happened in Milwaukee. You know, and sometimes when we're born and raised somewhere where we get used to these conversations, you start saying, well, like, oh, yeah, you know how Milwaukee is. Y'all find your own place. We sick of this conversation. Why don't y'all do something else? Just go where y'all want it at. And it becomes normal because this is what we've seen our whole life, right? And people from the other cities, and that's why living in a different place gives me a different perspective. Knowing people from different backgrounds, knowing people that go to these places, knowing people that work at these places, it will give you a different perspective, because a lot of times in our community, we agree with the wrong side because we also have those unconscious biases and we think automatically that we're doing something wrong sometimes. I genuinely do believe that. So we had a caller last week. Or I'm sorry, I keep saying last week. It wasn't last week, y'all. It was the other day. Don't blame my heart, blame my head. I'm all over the place. We did have a caller when we were talking about it. He said he used to DJ in Chicago. And I like that call because you could tell he was an older gentleman. He said he used to play the Isley Brothers to slow it down a little bit. But he understood the point that we were making. A good DJ knows how to change the energy without banning an entire culture, essentially. That's the conversation, because I completely understand a business saying the vibe is getting too aggressive, a little too much is going on. We're getting some complaints, right? And we don't want explicit songs. I get it. We don't want music glorifying gun violence all night. That's okay. But that's where the DJ really earns their money. A DJ can read the room. They can transition. They know when you've been in one pocket a little too long and it's time to, you know, switch it up a little bit. You can switch it up, because most of those artists have remixes with country singers. They got remixes with all types of, and you telling us we can't play these people? What are we talking about here? So you can change the temperature without announcing Black rappers are the problem. Whether that was the intention or not, that's literally how that list looks. And people think we're beating a dead horse. They think that we're doing too much by being loud about it. But the reason it's gone so viral, we're used to this type of stuff in Milwaukee, y'all. But the rest of the world is looking at us like we lost our mind. They think we're playing. That's how crazy that list looks to anybody else in this world. We're so used to these conversations. We're so used to this type of behavior. And we're so used to just sitting down and being like, you know what? Maybe we are the problem. Maybe. But we just heard from a DJ's there. Yeah, no, I ain't seen no fights there. But there may be other pressures outside of that. I remember somebody telling me a few years ago, I don't know if this is still true, that on Water Street, the only bar to have Hennessy was Truth. You gotta get the Henny. They doing whatever they can to deter, or what they think will deter African-American people from places. And it ain't always us fighting. It ain't always, we talked about that earlier in the week. But we are made to believe we the problem. And if we such the problem, why is it so many of us agree that we don't want to be in environments where people throwing hands and feet all the time? Don't sound like we the problem if most of us agree that we don't want to get knocked over our head with a bottle. I'm just saying. So, I just don't understand why that was the solution. If the problem is violent lyrics, they can make a content policy, and we've talked about that. But when we get back, we're going to get deeper into this, all right? Make sure you guys give us a call at 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. You can text that line as well, but we want to hear from you at 833-212-1017. You can also join our chat. We are at the lunch break on Facebook as well. Make sure you follow us there. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running.
What's up, Milwaukee? You guys are back listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. And I got something on the menu for y'all today. Before we get back into our conversation, are your finances low? Your mindset off track? Are you ready to get into real estate? Tune in to The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step toward building a better future. Man, that was good. Don't forget, y'all. Make sure you guys watch Coach Erica learn something. All right? Man. So we're going to get back into the conversation. Yes, again. About the no playlist, no Milwaukee rap, the list that included rappers, some of our top rappers at this time. Okay, we'll get back into that. Because like I said, we just had Michael Jacobs on the show and we talked about the governor's race. His ad is politically homeless. And he definitely talked to us about this as well, because he also DJs. And he's DJed at the garage. And he said that he has not experienced fights while playing hip-hop artists. And that's important because, like I said, most people on my Instagram and Facebook, they're saying things like, well, they don't want people fighting at their establishment. Anytime you play, we had a caller a few days ago. Say, especially Big Frank. All I know is Big Frank make dancing movie music. He gets the kids moving. We start blaming Big Frank. And like I said, I do feel like a lot of times we are very quick to side with people that are blaming us or trying to make us the problem when we're not the problem. I just was talking about how Milwaukee people get so used to these conversations, it's not taboo for us. But me living in Vegas really shines a light on how odd this behavior is. I talked about how the caller called in a few days ago and he said he used to DJ in Chicago and he just changed it up a little bit. And you can control a room as a DJ without saying no Milwaukee rap music, without banning some of the top rappers of our time. The artists, not the records, right? Because we constantly ask, why doesn't Milwaukee music make the scene, the music scene, and get all this recognition Atlanta gets? And this is why we can't break. We're too divided, right? Why do talented people feel like they have to leave to blow up? And then we're seeing right now how hard it is to reach across the aisle in Milwaukee. As an artist, we can't complain that outsiders don't support Milwaukee artists when establishments in Milwaukee won't even support them. That's backwards. And I do want to be fair. They said, even though it said the list is coming from ownership, ownership said, not I. Believe what y'all want. But I also wanted to admit something, y'all. The Rave and the Pabst Theater, they got petty. I saw that. They
you saw what they posted.
I loved it. I like when people piggyback off of a moment. They said nothing, just posted some of the rap artists we've supported throughout the year.
Also, the Pabst group, Pabst Theater group, posted something too. They were like, oh, here's some of our favorite Milwaukee acts that we've had on our stages. So they got in on the pettiness as well.
I love it. And those are bigger venues. But like Michael said, it might not even, because the garage held out. And I mentioned it in the last episode where we talked about this. A lot of times, downtown, Water Street, it might not be the owners putting the pressure on them, just like what happened with the food truck situation. It could be the powers that be. Because like I said, a lot of those bars on Water Street, I don't know if it's still a thing, but when I was living there, the only one to serve Henny was the only Black-owned one, and they barely wanted them to be there. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. A lot of those clubs, they would have really odd rules, very specific to Black people. Can't get in here. Don't wear this. Don't do that. Just saying. But yeah, I think the bigger conversation here is about what makes a DJ, crowd control without making the crowd feel control is an art, right? And I got a question. What point does a business setting, the vibe, cross the line into discriminating against the culture or the people associated with that music? 833-212-1017. Milwaukee, talk to me. I know the other day you guys had a lot to say. A few people agreed with the rules and the policy, but now that you guys hear that, it was actually not us fighting in there. That was the problem. Because I was thinking, okay, well, maybe there was an uptick of violence happening while those songs were playing, but it's been confirmed. No. That ain't it.
I mean, you heard Michael. He said he was playing Every Time We Touch when a fight broke out at the Harp. And like we said the other day, New York was playing Halo by Beyonce in a club once, and a fight broke out. Like, I don't get it.
Those songs might be easy to take those wrong. When they said Every Time We Touch, they probably thought start throwing hands in Halo. They probably was like, you know what? We're going to send you up there. That's probably what happened. I don't know. But I'll let y'all eat y'all lunch, because I also wanted to get into something else that happened in Milwaukee. I think this was a day or two ago. A kid got into a zoo exhibit or enclosure, I should say. Right? How did he get inside the zoo enclosure? There's a video circulating of a 13-year-old boy inside of the African Savannah exhibit at the Milwaukee County Zoo. He's running around near southern ground hornbills, holding a stick and chasing the birds. All right. I want to be careful here, because online they said he was beating the birds and all this and that, because that also has gone viral. Milwaukee been really going viral lately, y'all. We all over the place. Y'all got me doing a lot of explaining out here. They like, this really happened? I'm like, you know, I can only be a representative so much. Okay. They said he was beating the birds, but the reports confirmed that he was chasing them with a stick. Thankfully, no animals and no people were injured. The entire incident reportedly lasted only a few minutes, but there are 2 or 3 minutes inside of an animal habitat, right? And that can become dangerous really, really quickly inside of an animal habitat. And then you got some animals too that they, like, if you scare them, they will die. So that's super, like, yeah, he probably wasn't beating them, but he was chasing them. He was causing them distress. He was stressing them birds out. They was running for their lives. Okay? And that could become dangerous for him as well. What if them birds would have turned around and attacked him? Now they want to put, look, we've seen how that goes. They want to put the bird down. Well, we got to put him down.
R.I.P. Harambe. R.I.P. Harambe.
Man, rest in peace, Harambe.
These out for Harambe. Man.
Come on. Y'all see how that happens. But then we learn about a much bigger story, right? The family spoke out, and the boy's father said that his son is severely autistic. He has ADHD and epilepsy. I got ADHD. My sister got epilepsy. I don't think that got nothing to do with why he was. You know what? Let's keep this going. His father says animals are one of his son's biggest interests, and that the Milwaukee County Zoo. That don't
mean you jump in the thing.
Come on, man. With a stick? What are you interested? You know what? Let me just keep going. And the Milwaukee County Zoo may actually be his favorite place. The family reportedly has annual passes and they visit many times. And this is, they've gone there many times without any of these things happening. That day, he was with his grandmother and a caregiver while his parents were working. According to his father, everything had been just fine until near the end of that visit when his son suddenly broke away. And his grandmother can, we're playing the video right now, and you can actually hear the grandmother, I think, saying, oh, he's autistic. Oh, let him run. He'll run himself out. They ended up getting him with help of the zoo, visitors, and security. Again, nobody was injured. But I guess... This is crazy. I'm sorry. I'm re-looking at the video too. And it's actually wild. Like, it's 2 minutes. They try to make it seem like 2 minutes is like not a lot of time. But do you know how two or three minutes actually is?
I mean, our commercial breaks are 3 minutes.
That's so. A long time. This is insane. Those animals deserve protection too. And autism does not mean we pretend like that situation was not extremely dangerous, y'all. But once you learn he has autism and, you know, he eloped, ran away from his caregivers, you know.
Then I blame them. I don't blame him. I put the blame on them for taking their eyes off an autistic kid that loves animals and loves birds and loves the zoo so much and is at the height where he can jump off and get away. Like this is crazy.
It's insane to me.
Because wasn't the baby that got in the Harambe enclosure even smaller than this kid? So,
yep.
I mean, whatever.
How is this happening?
Just put
like, how is this consistently happening?
Don't they still have like leashes for at the zoo? Like, or was that just me? Was I the only kid that had to get put on a leash, like a leash backpack?
You are not the only like, one. Listen, stop playing with me.
Now that I think my about nephew's it, I think it was a monkey backpack.
And like, listen, they make it look like something else, yeah. Like a backpack, and it got a leash attached.
Had
they
like got a little arm animal ones. You got, on it. You got yeah. Options. So it's just like, what are we doing? I don't care if he's
a
teenager.
Strap him into a stroller.
That too.
They got bigger strollers for. Do what you gotta do to protect your child,
especially if he's special needs.
Man, that could have ended out like so bad, bro.
Imagine if
it
wasn't a bird.
History of eloping. He's a teenager, so I believe that history may have developed far before this incident. It had to. Okay. And I will say, yes, autism is a spectrum. So, you know, different impulse controls, different level of independence or ability to understand danger, all that, right?
True.
But like I said, when you know you have a child that has special needs, you have a very special job now. Okay? And honestly, like, I don't understand how he got into, like, how did he get in there? Like, it takes a little time to get over there. Y'all know that, right? So 3 minutes inside the cage. How long did it take him to climb it? I know he ain't got Jordan hops. His legs don't look that strong. He didn't just clear the fence. Come on, man.
And if he dropped, that's a far drop.
That's a
like look how drop, yeah, bro. Look how high up that is. Climbing over and then jumping down wild. From that cement.
Crazy. And then where'd he get a stick? Look at him. Come here, little turkey.
Probably from in there. Make I mean, there, yeah, there's a tree right there. Probably picked it from up under the tree.
Insane. And like I said, I do think it's an adult's responsibility for him to have been safe, and they should have watched him far more closely. I do understand that he's autistic. I do. And I understand his love of love of animals. But like we just said, has he attempted this before? Has he run away before? Has he shown these behaviors that he'll get fixated on an animal and go after him? I'm pretty sure if he's in there chasing him with a stick and he has this love for animals, this is crazy. And there should be special accommodations for kids that are eloping. I don't know. I think a lot of people are too embarrassed to like put their kid on a backpack, put their kid on a leash, put their kid in a stroller. I'll do it. If it means my child's safety, I don't care how y'all looking at me. I'm going to put my baby in a stroller, a leash, a headlock. I don't care. You coming with me, boo. Come on now. So, where do you draw the line between giving a child independence and taking additional safety precautions? Would y'all use a stroller, a harness, or a wrist tether for y'all kids if y'all knew that they were a flight risk? Call us. Talk to us. We'll be back after these messages. 833-212-1017. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get back into this after we get back.
Don't go anywhere.
Man, what's up? What's up, you guys? You are back listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the Lunch Break with Maybe Shannon. Ray Nitty will be back. But right now, you got me and Brother Z. All right? And we got a caller on the line. We've been talking about the garage no playlist. We've been talking about the baby jumping in the zoo exhibit. And we've got Eastside Corey on the line.
What's
How
up?
How you doing?
I need a little clarification. I was a little confused at you know, I don't pay attention to real mainstream stories, but this is a hot one with Brady Street. There used to be a bar called Why Not Two. They used to be really diverse and play a lot of jazz, rock and roll, and some very famous artists used to do sets there. I don't think it exists anymore. Then Hi-Hat has always seemed to have this identity problem as to when to play the dance music because they're a restaurant, right? So the kind of rap music that I'm thinking of that's for a big crowd like that would be the female, like Cardi B, Fun, you know, always a fun vibe, or Megan Thee Stallion or Missy Elliott, where everybody knows the lyrics and they get into it. It's fun. It's real positive. Is there a particular artist that people are having a problem with, or is it just, are they letting the DJ be the lead, you know, show the leadership? Because there's so many diverse hip-hop artists out there. I'm into Japanese female artists right now who are doing this great dance hip-hop stuff. It's fantastic. You know, their vibe is cool, but I'm confused about that. And then with the autistic boy, you know, they got some of our autistic children got that autistic strength, and they also got that one thing they can do really well. This kid, they can focus in and figure out how to break into things. Well, you can channel that energy into something positive, no doubt. But if he's too big for grandma, it's time to get him a harness. You know, who went in and got him out of there with the situation? Did they show that part?
Yeah. So I guess they said grandma's security and more staff ended up jumping in 3 minutes. But if I'm not mistaken, in that video, you can actually hear the grandma like, "Oh, he's autistic and not moving with haste." So I think
a
lot of people were like, just exactly. And that's what people took away from that. They were like, is she just saying this like as an excuse instead of getting in there and taking care of business? Like you said, if he's too big for grandma, it's time to get a harness or make sure he's with the proper people that can handle him.
They used to have a petting zoo there. He needs to know that these are living creatures and be gentle. He needs somebody to teach him to be gentle with all animals, to be gentle and let them come to you. Yep. It's a teachable moment, but you know, his concentrated energy, child. You better watch out with that strength. Artistic children, God.
Believe it. Thank you so much for giving us the call. It's always good to talk to our cousins. And he did ask a question. He asked if it was a specific artist, and yes, the list. The reason people felt upset because it wasn't them saying don't play music with guns and violence and fighting lyrics, it was just specific artists. And that's where it comes in. Like, are you just trying to basically like block out our music. Specifically, they had Lil Wayne on the list. They had Future. They had, I don't have the list in front of me. Brother Z, do you have the list by any chance?
Yeah. Andy? Sexy Red, Kodak Black, 42 Doug, Chief Keef, King Von, NBA Youngboy, Lil Durk, G Herbo, ESTG, Future, Young Thug, 21 Savage, City Girls, Tyga, Glorilla, Lotto, Lil Baby, Gunna, Playboi Carti, Migos, Offset, Quavo, 2 Chainz, Gucci Mane, Rick Ross, Lil Uzi, Lil Wayne, Moneybagg Yo, Key Glock, Young Dolph, and all in bold and caps, No Milwaukee Music, or No Milwaukee Rap.
Yeah, so that's what really got people up in arms, right? Like, it wasn't specific songs. They didn't specifically say, don't play this type. They just named these artists without actually, like, I feel like without reason, honestly. And now that we've talked to somebody that's DJ there, that does DJ there, and we know that those songs or those artists specifically aren't causing the fights, it just makes you feel like there's a bigger issue downtown on Brady, on Third, that they just don't want us there. And there probably is pressures from outside powers that be, right? That are like, man, we got to figure something out. And then they just, like we said before, go after the low-hanging fruit to act like they're doing something to stop what's going on. But a lot of times when people are getting in trouble at these bars on Water, on Brady, it's not really even the people inside. It's the people hanging outside. It's the kids with nothing to do. Right? So that's the conversation we were having. And like I said, before we went on break, we were just talking about, you know, how that kid got into the enclosure at the zoo. And how grandma couldn't really handle him. You know? And I've got 2 stories involving animals. Speaking of animals, right? Nearly 30,000 pounds of beef have been recalled. And we're going to talk about that. Right? And, you know, America's wild horses are being rounded up from public lands. And some concerns about where they're ending up have been popping up. Right? So, approximately 29,628 pounds of raw beef imported from Argentina has been recalled. Why, you ask? Well, federal officials discovered that the beef entered the U.S. without undergoing the required USDA important reinspection. And when you hear beef recall, you automatically think like E. coli, salmonella, you know, maybe some type of contamination. But that's not what the officials say happened here. The problem is that the meat entered the commerce without going through a required inspection checkpoint. And honestly, that bothers me too, y'all, because the inspections exist for a reason. The recall products included cuts like top sirloin. I love me some top sirloin. Eye round, top side, flat, and knuckle. God, look, y'all eating beef knuckles anyways. The products have September 2026 use-by or freeze-by dates and were distributed in Florida and Texas. So if you got cousins out there, you might want to call them and say, check your beef. Okay? You better check it. The good news is that the latest reporting, there have been no confirmed illnesses connected to this recall. But how does 30,000 pounds of beef get through before somebody realizes that the required reinspection did not happen, y'all? That's not steak somebody forgot to scan. That's thousands and thousands of pounds of meat. And I want to explain this, why it matters, because I know a lot of people will say, well, nobody got sick, so it's all right. But it's a big deal. Nobody got sick yet. And the big deal is that inspections are part of the system by design to catch problems before the food reaches our families. When meat enters the U.S., inspectors are supposed to verify that the meat the meat meats, look, meat meats, you know, U.S. requirements. And that the that means, did it actually come from an approved facility? Does the paperwork match what's inside the shipment? Was it handled correctly? Was it stored correctly? Is the labeling accurate? Were the food safety requirements followed? And depending on the shipment, additional physical examination or testing may have to happen. And because almost 30,000 pounds of meat got distributed, how y'all gonna trace that through stores, distributor, restaurants, people's fridges and freezers? So even without those confirmed illnesses, missing an inspection means one of those safeguards in our food system did not happen. And that's scary, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I'm worried, especially when we talk about them rounding up wild horses now. That's two separate stories that's happening at the same time. Almost 30,000 pounds of meat got past a checkpoint that is needed to make sure we eating safe food. Man. So now on to the wild horses. Because when we think about American wild Mustangs, we think about freedom and the West open land, right? They sold it to us like that, right? The beautiful like image of like a horse galloping through the wild, right? We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about why some people are upset that they're rounding them up now. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't go anywhere.
This is in my car, got me going fast. I just want to do the dash, put my pedal to the gas. Going so fast, hope I don't crash. One false move, that could be my last.
What's up, what's up? You are listening to The Lunch Break on 101.7 The Truth. And I got a little something on the menu for you. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to The Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share their what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses in the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on The Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman. Powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. Man, that was good. It's been a good day, man. We had our dear friend Michael Jekylls on, Politically Homeless. He talked to us about the governor's race. He also got into what's going on with the list from the garage that's been going viral, that has reached many, many states, that everybody is talking about. We've got celebrities sharing that list. We've got people that I know from out of town asking if it's real, what's going on in Milwaukee. And then we got into our food recalls once again. They got 30,000 pounds of beef being recalled because it wasn't inspected when it got to the U.S. They just sent it out for us to nibble on. Then we started talking about them rounding up horses that they hyped up to just be the wild horses, the Mustangs that, you know, we watched dilly-dallying in the wild. They rounding them up now. I guess we might be nibbling on their ankles. That's probably what they sent to us. Who knows? We don't talk about that, though. Let's kick it to the chat. We got Jasmine Jazz West. My jam. Hey now, you're a rock star. Brother Z played that coming back from a break. We got Politically Homeless. Allegedly, the kid is super autistic. Yep, that was confirmed, I believe, by the father. DVJ73, I'm hoping the pets are safe where he lives. Do they have any? Jasmine Jazz West said, why not? Bar is open on Van Buren. We had a caller that asked if that bar is still open. Jasmine Jazz West said, even autistic kids are strong, so I know he's strong. They do be strong. I be arm wrestling my autistic nephew. That's my boy. One commenter said, they probably think if rap music goes away, black people will too. They basically don't want us around. And we talked about that. That's what we talked about. I'm just saying. They call it, look, Jasmine Jazz West said, how is that song too ghetto? That's my jam. Like I said, anything that's us, automatically ghetto. Babar said, welcome back. Hey, what are you doing in Nevada? You didn't even stop by the block to say hi. Politically Homeless also said, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. But let's get back into these horsies. They just keep going. Is that what that is? You knew it. I'm screaming that you was ready for me to even say that. That's actually funny. Very telling of me. So, on to the wild horses. So, the Bureau of Land Management routinely rounds up wild horses from public lands. The agency says that the populations have to be managed because certain areas can't sustainably support all of the animals living there. And these roundups can involve hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands, of these horses. But the controversy is what can happen after some of these animals leave federal custody. So they get rounded up by the feds when it's too many of them. They said certain horses can eventually be sold through a federal sales process. Once they are legally transferred out, the protections that they had federally as wild horses can disappear. So while they're here, they are protected, right? And many advocates are saying that's where the systems become vulnerable. Investigations have raised concerns that the horses leaving the federal program can eventually end up in the commercial slaughter pipeline. Now, let's be clear. There are currently no commercial horse slaughterhouses operating in the U.S. I think that's because they're federally protected. But what they will do is transport those American horses across the border for slaughter in places like Canada and Mexico. So essentially, we round them up here. We're going to sell them here. Then they lose their protections once we sell them. Like, oh, they're not here anymore. Well, not protected anymore. And what they end up doing is crossing the border and then come back slaughtered. So to me, that feels like they're doing backdoor dealings, man. So that's what I can't get past, dude. Like, so we spend generations turning the Mustang into this symbol of American Western history in these movies and these commercials, and then we protect them and then we sell them. That's what's been happening, y'all. There has to be a better way. I heard somewhere that they said they're being sold as low as $25. Dang. Slaughtered and sent back as food. That's probably what we're chewing on. That's probably exactly what came, that 30,000 pounds.
I was going to say, wasn't the rumor that Taco Bell uses horse meat?
Okay. And they want to, oh, well, we don't have a slaughterhouse here. Exactly. We all got slaughterhouses here. Yeah, but y'all gonna sell them somewhere else, and then they lose their protections, and then they can come back as meals for us. And I just don't see how we're sitting here and not questioning. Like, there's so many recalls right now. Like what do we eat? What y'all eating? I want to know that in the chat. I ain't ate a salad in weeks. I like to blame the recalls for that. I ain't ate fruit or salads. I like to blame the recalls.
Really? Bruh.
That's my protections. But seriously, it's like the meat's being recalled. Everything we eat is being recalled. And honestly, it makes me real suspicious because not only are they surveilling us with the flock cameras, tampering with our food, selling all, doing all types of backdoor stuff.
Taking away our fruit seeds.
Fruit seeds are gone. The farmers can't even grow their own fruit. They got to buy the seeds from the government. It's getting crazy out here. Have we become too comfortable assuming safeguards are working simply because the rules exist? Because I would never thought that they'd be rounding these horses up, selling them to slaughter. Just because it's not being done in America don't mean it ain't being done. And as we see, it's being done. And it's so disheartening to hear that. And I don't mean to sound like one of them people protect the animals, but goodness. And also, what is we eating? They might be, like you said, Taco Bell meat might be horse ankles.
Bruh.
Could be. But listen. Look, y'all better get used to eating some. I feel like a lot of stuff we eat is questionable. That's the reason that's why.
And
all these countries, like, most of our stuff is banned. And I think we're just now starting to really, like, get hip to, like, our food is not that safe. And we really have to start growing our own stuff, sourcing our own things. We really have to, as Americans, get used to fending for ourselves. It's really starting to feel that way. But we are coming to an end, y'all. Another episode of The Lunch Break with just me, maybe Shannon, and Brother Z holding it down on the production and sound. It's been a good one. Special thank you to Politically Homeless again. Shout out to The Garage for giving us so much content. Man. And to parents with special need children, please, please keep the baby safe, because that incident could have ended up so much worse. Thankfully, they got him and he's safe. And please, y'all, watch what y'all eating. I don't got no answers, questions, or comments about that. Just good luck. You are listening to The Lunch Break with Maybe Shannon. Ray Nitty will be back next week. I'll be back tomorrow, same time, 12 to 2. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, The Lunch Break on Facebook, and head over to YouTube. We're here all day. The Truth Nation is here all day, man. Don't go anywhere. We got The Grapevine up next. Homer Blow is on The Grapevine. That should always be a good time, man. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for rocking with us.